open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. I want you to notice, we'll make mention of this again in just a moment. This is the Jabbok River on the east side of the Jordan. And along this river is where Abraham and others traveled from up in the north to come to Canaan land. And if you'll notice here, just on the left, there are some bushes there with little yellow flowers on them. And we'll talk about that because that is the mustard seed plant. So this morning, we're going to talk about the faith of the mustard seed. And the recording of that is for us in Matthew 13, and we'll look at verses 31 and 32. And the text says, "He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.'" This particular parable is recorded for us also in the book of Mark and also in the book of Luke. We'll be referring to these other accounts as we talk about this particular parable. And I'd like for us to look a little bit closer at the text from Matthew 13, and we'll begin with talking about the kingdom of heaven. And what is interesting in the parables that Jesus told, he would many times talk about or use a parable, which just means a throw alongside of, it's a comparison, and he would use some kind of physical event to represent the idea of some spiritual truth. In the book of Mark and Luke, it is referred to as the kingdom of God. So you'll see different nomenclature for the people of God, the rule of God, and what Jesus came to establish. And you also notice that he said it is like a mustard seed. And when we consider that, it's like, that is a metaphor, it's a comparison, and that's what parables do. In the Mark account, it talks about a picture or to compare. So that helps us to understand that word. But then he says it was sowed in a field. And, let's talk about the mustard seed first then. The mustard seed is indeed a unique seed. Just out of curiosity, how many have ever seen mustard seed in your hands? Some of you have, all right? Well, when we think about the mustard seed, here's what we're looking at. It is indeed tiny. It's not usually good if you have a cold or sneezing much to hold it because you'll blow it away very easily. But that's a mustard seeds. Seeds, plural. And when we stop to consider the plant itself, it's a very beautiful plant. And it produces this flower that attracts birds and so forth and so on. And this is something that the Jews, the people that Jesus is talking to, were very familiar with. And they even used it in their gardens. And so when we think about this, we notice also that he says it was sowed in his field. One of the versions talk about that it was sown purposely in his garden, according to the book of Luke. But then he says that it is smaller than all the other seeds. Now, each of these particular aspects of this parable build up for a point. And the point being here in just a moment is that this small mustard seed is going to be in comparison to those who have faith in God. But then he talks about when it becomes full grown. In other words, it grows, it matures, it becomes larger than any plants that are in the garden. And in fact, it mentions the fact that it becomes like a tree. So you can imagine the fact from that small beginning, that little bitty seed, and how it produces something that is large, even to be referred to as a tree. And even mentioning the fact that birds can land in it. So that's a pretty amazing plant. If you ever studied botany or in biology in school and so forth, I mean, it's amazing the whole process from seed to plant and the photosynthesis and all that other stuff that goes on. But then we'd like to notice, if you will, here is a mustard seed plant that is grown to a big plant, a tree. That's Farrell Jenkins standing there. And Farrell is about 6 foot tall, to give you some kind of scale there. So it's a great big plant. And you can see how birds can come and land in it. Now, having said that, what are we to learn from this? I think the point of the parable is a simple point. And it has to do with a small beginning, but then an explosive growth. And the mustard plant is known for that, starting very small and then growing quite large. So when we make the application, we find when we look at the kingdom of God, and this is what Jesus is saying, that the mustard seed is like the kingdom of heaven, or can be compared to the kingdom of God, like the mustard seed. So what are we learning? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it's the Apostle Paul that talks about the beginning of the scheme of redemption. And this beginning of the scheme of redemption, it takes place before creation of anything. And it was in the mind of God. And what we learn from this mind of God, even before He created anything, that after He created man, there were a number of prophecies. The prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, talks about the coming of the Son and His kingdom. We find in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, we find again a prophecy concerning this coming kingdom, king, covenant with God. And we find that a little boy is born. And this little boy, while insignificant to the world at the time, became a great thing. The fact that it's so small, so insignificant, he became a carpenter or a son of a carpenter. And he chose 12 insignificant men, who most were fishermen. And he began to teach and he began to preach. And as he began to teach and preach, the Jews hated him, and they killed him. And that wasn't the end of the story. The fact that he arose from the dead the third day was a miraculous thing that only God Himself could perform. And the fact that God, who before the foundations of the earth, planted this very small little seed, and as this seed began to grow and to mature, a plant began to grow, and that plant was likened to a mustard seed and became extremely large. And in Acts chapter 2, we find a Jewish feast referred to as the Day of Pentecost, and it was like no other Pentecost that there had ever been. Because on that day, recorded in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. And by verbal inspiration, they began to speak the word of God. The entrance into the kingdom, to become saved of their sins, to have the hope of heaven. And we find from this great story that by 57 AD, approximately 27 years, less than 30 years, Paul later records that the gospel had been spread throughout the whole world. Now you stop and think about that a moment. Yes, it took a long time for all of that to develop from before creation to Jesus raising from the dead and the proclaiming of the gospel and His apostles going throughout all the known world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Think about how great a plant that has become. So when you consider again the parable, when Jesus said, "Let me tell you a parable about the mustard seed." Well, it illustrated simply this. It had very small beginnings, but it became great. That's the point of the parable. Now, when we consider that, what's the lessons for us today? Number one, if the seed of God's Word is planted, it will give an increase. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 gave us proof of that. God, through the prophet, said that my word will not return unto me void without accomplishing what I've desired for it to accomplish. Now we must take faith in God. We must take faith in what God says to believe that if the seed of God's word is planted, it too will be likened to the mustard seed. Oh, it's a small seed. And it may be that we say just a little bit here and a little bit there, and maybe through example, a seed is being planted and being spread to others' hearts. In time, though, God will give the increase and it'll become something great. We see the beauty of that when we consider the fact that starting out small, it will grow to be large. A number of you have said to me that you remember back in the day when the Anderson Church was pretty small and its early beginnings and so forth, and God has blessed us to be able to grow more and more. No, we're not a mega church in the sense of that term today. We're thousands and thousands of members. But yet, there's been growth. And again, we see a fulfillment of the very parable that Jesus is talking about, starting off from small beginnings. And it grows. And it's all directed by God. And it's important for us to understand that the kingdom is large enough to be a refuge for the spiritually tired and the weary. That's something that I think as Christians we must emphasize more. It's the fact that we go out to the highways and the byways. We go out to our neighbors and we go out to our friends and yea, even our enemies. And we try to convince them and try to get them to understand that we offer unto them God's peace, God's comfort, a place where they can come and they can light and they can receive comfort and they can receive a blessing. Again, the parable of the mustard seed, that a bird can come and light and there find a home. I think also when we consider this great idea of the mustard seed, we find that the faith of the mustard seed is used in one other way. If you'll turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 17, I'd like us to notice that particular text. And in that particular text, Jesus uses this mustard seed concept in another parable or idea. In Matthew 17, we find that the text says, "And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you.'" My guess is most of us have read that passage too. And as you think about the mustard seed, there again is something about this that ought to be a great spiritual blessing and lesson to us to understand this particular text. Now, I'd like to suggest to us that when we consider this idea, they ask the question, why could we not cast it out? Now, if you look at the context, you back up, there was a man that had a son that had various issues and problems and so forth. He was possessed by a demon. And the man came to Jesus' disciples and asked them to cast out this demon, and the disciples could not do it. So the man came to Jesus and asked Jesus to cast him out, and Jesus gets a little bit upset about this. And I don't think he's upset at the man, nor is he upset with the son. He's upset with his disciples. And he rebukes them in verse 17. He rebukes them because of the littleness of their faith. And then he tells them of this great parable or this idea. He said, because you have a littleness of faith, you couldn't do this. What the apostles learned that day is that they needed to have greater faith. Now, if I'll stop just for a moment and say this, I don't think there's a single one of us who claim to be Christians who have not run up upon something that tests our faith, and we soon come to realize our faith is not big enough because we fail. There are lots of ways that we fail. And it's not important that we name all those various ways, but to simply say we all understand that we fall short. And the reason we fall short, the reason we don't jump this high when God has asked us to jump that high, is because of our faith. The Bible continually talks about without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We've been talking about faith for a good long while in our Sunday morning Bible classes. What are we talking about? We're talking about a disposition of believing and trusting in God to do what He says. And how many times do we, when the rubber meets the road, is our faith so little that we don't trust God? Nor do we do what He says. We're all in that line. So it wasn't just the apostles that ran up upon a situation that was too big for them to handle because they had little faith. You notice here that Jesus did chide them. And then He talked about, He says, if. How many times have you heard folks say, if is one of the biggest words that we know? If. And what that suggests for us as Christians, we have a choice. If you will change, you can do better. If. What makes the difference in whether or not I do better when I realize I have little faith? Well, that's if we make up our minds to do better. I can't make you do better. Oh, I can encourage you. I can try to motivate you. But I can't make you do anything. You see, you have to decide for yourself. The Lord Himself chooses not to make you do it. If you want greater faith, then you personally must do something about that. He then talks about the idea here in this great text, the faith as a mustard seed. Now, you know that He is using this in a figurative way, in an accommodative way, because a seed is an inanimate thing, but yet it's very small, but it grows to be a great big bush, likened to a tree. So what does that say about my faith? Well, my guess is all of us started pretty little, probably as small as a mustard seed. And the whole point is that we're to be like a mustard seed, to have faith like a mustard seed. Yes, it starts off small, but it can grow big to a tree if we want it to. So I guess that each of us must give an examination of our own hearts today and just ask ourselves, where are we as a mustard seed? Are we still just an itty-bitty little seed having little faith? Or have we grown? Are we a big tree? Well, when we stop and consider this text again, there is something that is said that is quite unique in this particular passage. He talks about moving mountains. That you could say to this mountain, move here to there. Luke's account uses the mulberry tree. He said, Jesus said in Luke, He said, this mulberry tree could be lifted up and cast into the, be planted in the sea and grow. Well, that's normally not where you plant mulberry trees, in the ocean. But you could do that. And then He says, in the text He also uses the idea of this mountainous idea that really mountains was a Jewish metaphor. It was a saying. Some of you talk about roll tide. Well, that's a metaphor. It's a saying. Okay? Sometimes the tide doesn't come in or go out, and sometimes the elephant gets run over. Right? Now, I'm not saying that to put any salt in anybody's wounds. But, you know, even great teams lose. Do you know even great people do bad things? Even great people aren't great all the time. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, the Jews use this metaphor about moving mountains for solving great problems. That's all it meant. Making difficulties vanish. They pay people in businesses large sums of money if they can come into a major corporation and they can make mountains go away. And they can make this business flourish. Well, they'll pay them millions and millions of dollars to do that. Did you know that our Lord said to His disciples that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say into this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it would be done. Now, how many of our minds go back to the idea, is that literal? Well, no. Someone rightly said that in this day and time especially, if God wants a mountain removed, that's why He invented bulldozers and earth movers. It's a metaphor. Yes, in the first century, there was miraculous faith. But we never hear of anybody actually moving a mountain and casting it into the sea. There's no record of that anywhere. So if the apostles had the ability to do that, don't you think at some point in time they would have moved some mountain and threw it into the sea? We'd have heard about that. No, Jesus did not mean that literally. What did He mean it? He meant it spiritually. I don't care who you are, how long you live your life as a Christian, there are going to be problems that seem like to you that are mountains that you cannot move. And Jesus said that is simply not true. The reality of it is that Jesus is teaching not that we are omnipotent or can become all-powerful, but rather He is giving us the promise that through our faith, if we have the faith of the mustard seed, if we have that kind of great faith, we can remove any mountains before us that stand in our way from obeying God. Did you hear that message? There's not one of us who is fallen down, who is depressed and discouraged, who does not choose to remain there. Because if you have the faith of the mustard seed, you can arise from that and you can throw the mountain into the sea. Whatever stands before you, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to go to heaven. Would He then allow the difficulties of this life, yea, even Satan, to get in your way and to become such an obstacle that there's no way you can make it? Then God really doesn't want us to be saved, does He? So if you have the faith of the mustard seed, and if you choose to get up and to trust in your God, then that mountain that is in front of you, regardless of what it is, you can overcome that. That was His promise to His apostles. That is His promise to us. May I suggest to us that nothing shall be impossible to you. No, that does not mean that if you decide and give God the glory, you can make $5 million next year. No, that does not mean that if we all get out here in the parking lot and we back up far enough and we can start running, we can all jump over this building to the glory of God. That is not what He's talking about. What is He talking about? Well, Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What was he saying? Anything that God has commanded you to do, you can do it if you have faith of the mustard seed. But if you don't have the faith of the mustard seed, if you have little faith, that even if you had miraculous gifts, you'd be like the disciples. You'd be standing there trying to cast out a demon and you can't do it. Isn't that interesting? That it took faith on the part of the disciples to even use their miraculous gifts. And there was guys that, and I make no fun, and I surely hope it's not blasphemous, but to see one of those apostles standing there and this poor boy being tortured by this demon, and whether they pointed their hand at him or they laid their hands upon him or whatever they did, and it was just like a firecracker that's a dud. You take a firecracker and you light it and you're hoping for a big bang, and all of a sudden it just goes, psst, that's it. You thought, man, what a dud. They had to be embarrassed. They had to wonder, what in the world? But did you notice in the original text? Did you notice there in verse 20 or back in verse 19? Why could we not cast it out? Why could we not cast it out? Do you know what the problem was? They thought we were the power. And we ain't the power. God is the power. When we start thinking we can do this, separate and apart from God, we can't do nothing. Faith in God is not that you and I become spiritually strong, that we do this. No. Faith is all about trusting God who works through us to do His will. So God asks us to be faithful. God asks us to serve Him. Can you do it? Can you be faithful to the Lord? Well, I just can't come to church like I should. I just can't. I'm weak. Can you do better? If you want to. Can you believe His Word? Can you trust His Word? The fact that we have differences doctrinally, or we have differences of judgment and opinion. Can we come to learn God's Word? Oh, it's just so difficult and so hard. We just can't do it. So we don't even try. Do we not have little faith? Do we not understand that God will help us to understand and know His Word? And no, we're not even talking about miraculous. No, the mountain that stands before us may be emotional. The mountain that stands before us may be family. Mountains that stand before us can be just our personal ability to overcome difficulties in our life. Sometimes we just start to think and say, I just can't do it anymore. And the problem? Oh, ye of little faith. You need the faith of the mustard seed. And that's a choice. What we learn from this great lesson is the fact that disciples came to realize that they needed greater faith. If the apostles come to realize they needed greater faith, do I? Do you? Secondly, the apostles are not the only ones that have to move mountains. Parents, sometimes the mountains you must move is how to teach your children and help them to get through this wicked world. And I tell you what, that's a high mountain. That is a tall, tall mountain. Husbands and wives, can you really love each other the way God wants you to love each other? Do you have difficulties? Do you have problems? Do you fuss and fight? Do you not get along as you should? That's a big mountain, isn't it? Where's your faith in God? Can you overcome addictions? Can you overcome sins in your life? Can you overcome lusts of the flesh? Can you give up the pornography? Can you give up the life of lying and stealing? Can you give that up? What does God say to you? If you have the faith of the mustard seed, you can say into this mountain, be cast into the sea. And you do it. Nothing shall be impossible to you in the context of doing His will. What part of nothing shall be impossible to you do we not understand? I think as Christians we believe that and we say that, but we really don't believe that when we say it. Maybe we're just thinking if we say it enough, we'll start to believe it. Maybe as the old brother of yesteryear would say, Sometimes we become so ornery and pathetic that we've convinced ourselves that we're ornery and pathetic and nothing can be done. How ornery and pathetic. Trusting God in the ornery and pathetic can become great people of faith, and you can move mountains. If. Some mountains are tougher to move than others. Jesus rightly said to his disciples, he says, now this kind of spirit that you were trying to cast out, now it's a little bit tougher. I don't really know all the ins and outs about that, but evidently, Jesus, when casting out demons, apostles casting out demons, the 70 followers cast out demons, there were some times that they had to give a little more oomph to it. They had to get a little more energy to it, or a little bit more faith to it, a little more strength to it, because some demons are tougher than other demons. Now again, I don't understand all that other than that that's what Jesus said. And he went on to say, some take also prayer and fasting. Now if you're trying to cast out a demon, my guess is there are some you can say, be gone, and he would leave. But then there were some you'd say, be gone, and you got to pray, and you got to fast some. Praying and fasting takes time. Did you get that? There are some mountains that you don't just say, be gone, and the problem is gone, and you're home safe. Sometimes you can say, be gone, and it's still standing there. And what do you got to do? You got to get on your hands and knees and start praying. You got to start fasting. You got to really, really, really concentrate your efforts to make this work. Did you know some sins we're involved in, you can say, be gone, and you're done with it. And thanks be to God that that can happen. But sometimes things get a hold of you, get a grip on you, and they're difficult, and they're tough, and they're hard to face. And you can say, be gone, and it's still standing there. And you got to pray about it. You got to fast about it. You have to work extra hard for it to be gone. And only when you have faith in God will you ever do such a thing. So don't get discouraged just because you snap your finger and the problem doesn't go away. It's not a reflection upon God, it's a reflection upon us, our hearts, and our trust in God. You know, being a Christian is not easy. You don't just snap your finger and it happens. But what God does say, if you have the faith of the mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, when it comes to motivational kinds of sermons, this may not have been all the bells and the whistles and the firecrackers and fireworks and stuff kind of lesson. And it may not just turn you upside down. But far as this lesson goes, I don't know of a single thing that anyone could ever say to motivate you any more to be faithful to the Lord than that lesson. Now, I'm not saying you to brag on me because I preached it. I'm just saying this is what the Lord was trying to do, was motivate His people. If that lesson doesn't motivate you to do better, if it doesn't motivate you to look at your own heart and ask yourself the question, why can I not cast it out? And the answer is the same. Because of your littleness of faith. So if you decide to make your faith greater, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you make up your mind to trust God, to do His will, to obey His will, you can be forgiven of your sins. And maybe you feel like you've sinned so much you can't be forgiven. Maybe you're just so ornery and pathetic that God would not forgive you. That's a lack of faith in God. God has saved from some pretty pathetic people in this life. He has saved some pretty pitiful people. He can save you too. And if you're a Christian and you just become discouraged and down and out and you just feel like you cannot set another foot in front of another in service to God, you have allowed the devil to build a mountain in front of you that you think you cannot move. Well, God says, nothing shall be impossible to you. Would you come to the Lord? Would you believe in Him and obey Him? Will you trust in Him with all your heart? Will you have the faith of the mustard seed? The decision is yours. If. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
You live for Jesus and be always pure and good. Would you walk with